Pat Henkin and Ed Sprague joining Michael Tracos and myself in studio. Gentlemen, thanks for doing this.
Our pleasure.
So we had Todd Stottlemyre on the other day, and after I got over the surprise of finding out that Todd Stottlemyre was a hedge fund manager, we started talking about the 92-93 Jays, and he was telling a story about, and Pat, I don't know if both of you were back. I don't know if it was Aceto Gaston, send off, but Todd told a story about whatever gathering it was, there was a golf tournament. Maybe it was Joe Carter's tournament. And they had a bus rented for the alumni. And he said the guys got on and basically sat in the same seats they used to sit in on the bus going from the charter or going to the stadium. And he said about 2 minutes later, the guys were always busting on guys in 92-93 were busting on guys again about different things. And, I'll start with you, Ed. How close-knit was that group? Because we had Devon White on Baseball Central, and I asked him about how close-knit, and I told him the Stottlemyre story, and he said, well, that's funny, because Todd and I lived kind of in the same neighborhood for a while, and I don't think I ever saw Todd. But he said when you get together, it's almost like you were together yesterday. Is that
same? I think that we were probably, closer than we thought at the time. I think the Jays of the early 90s that had success, we had this professionalism about we showed up, did our job at work, and then we checked out and went home. And there was a few of us that were very close that came up together through the minor leagues. But for most, it was a business atmosphere, mm-hmm. But I remember that bus. That was the Blue Jays tournament a few years ago. I remember that. It was the same guys who used to bring the beer on the bus, brought the beer on the bus. It was Coxie and Eichhorn and... And it was hilarious. It was just a turn back in time. And, you get that culture with you're around each other. I mean, me and Pat talk a lot on the phone a lot. So we pick up the phone, it's just right back to mm-hmm. when we were 20 years ago doing it. And that was kind of that moment that I think you realize, hey, we were a lot closer. We knew each other a lot better than maybe we did when we were going through it.
Yeah, for me, I think they actually did a nice job of blending the veteran guys with some young guys. Like Ed and I were both young players at the time, but...
Right.
I think the Blue Jays in general just did a nice job of blending that roster with veterans, middle-of-the-road type guys, and then the young guys that were up and coming and hungry. And mm-hmm. I think, looking back, it was a great combo.
What surprised you guys? This might be an odd question, but 25 years later, what surprised you the most about winning a World Series, now that you've had a chance to look back? Was when you sit back and look at it, you go, I kind of didn't really expect this to feel this way, or
I don't know. I mean, I think that we came up, that Blue Jays culture was set from 85 to 89. There was an expectation of winning, of playing winning baseball by Bobby Maddox and Mel Quinn at the minor league level. And when you got here, you kind of were expected to be able to do that. There was an expectation that you were going to win, you were going to get to the postseason. On my first 3 years, we went to the postseason and won two World Series, and so. I don't think at the time I was surprised. Mm-hmm. You look back, and we feel very fortunate to the amount of great players we played with, the great job that Gillick did in assembling that. Like Pat said, 92, we bring in, 14 different guys for the 93 team, and somehow we all came together and did it again. So it was certainly a special time in Toronto and in our lives, especially as young players. And, I don't know if I was even surprised by it at the time.
You guys,
No, I just think like what Ed was saying, it was just an incredible time for us and to come up with Maddox, with Queen, and the coaching that we had. Cito just was a nice blend of a veterans manager. And, looking back, the Winfields, the Jack Morris, Dave Steeb, Dwayne Ward, Tom Hankey, great veteran guys that cared about winning. It wasn't about your individual stats. It was about winning. And when we won, the atmosphere was good. And when we didn't win, it was about getting ready for tomorrow. And I think that was the key.
You guys are both very young, too. Like, you were in your second year, Ed, when you guys won against Atlanta, and you were in, your second or third year?
Yeah, I was 91. I was 91 call-up in September.
It was weird because, Ed, when I think of your contribution in that first World Series, it's that pinch hit home run in game two in the ninth. And walk us through kind of how difficult that must have been as a young hitter coming off, the bench, which was you guys were dubbed the trenches there.
Right.
Along with Bell and Ward. How difficult was that as a young guy where you're coming in that situation? I think you're 24 at the time.
Yeah. Well, I think it started back. So we had three catchers. And at the time I was in the bullpen. And Cito didn't want one of the coaches warming up the pitchers in between innings. I think it was Gene Tennis at the time. So they had a catcher come on the bench. And so it happened to be – I was the guy who basically warmed up the guys in between innings, you know, as I wasn't playing. And so in 92, after in game one, I just happened to have my bat. I think Cito looks down, and I'm the guy that has his bat, and it's a blowout game against Oakland. Actually comes in to get work. I go in, I get a base up the middle. And I think for some reason Cito put some trust in me at that point, and I pinch hit again, and right before the game, Robbie hit the walk-off or the game-winning homer in Oakland against actually even he punched me out that time. But I can think I was kind of the go-to guy for Cito, and he was prepared. He prepared me enough in advance that I really never felt any pressure.
Hmm. Yeah. Both of you guys are involved in the game still, right? You're with the Oakland, you're mm-hmm. a minor league coordinator.
Coordinator of instruction.
Of instruction. Pat, you're obviously still involved with the Jays. Do you like the way the game is now? You know, people talk about, you know, there's now it's a home run or a strikeout, all the shifting and all this. I'll start with you, Pat. Do you like the way the game is played now, or are we missing some aspects of the game? Because, you know, I watched last night's game, the Jays 8-5 win. Stolen bases, caught stealing, balls hit the other way. There were balls in play, and Dan Shulman made the point on the broadcast. It was kind of nice. That was kind of like an older game where guys are moving around and the ball's going here and the ball's going there. It wasn't just strikeout, walk, home run. Do you like the game right now?
You know, I'm a huge fan. You guys know that. I love the game. It's evolved a little bit, but for the most part, not much has changed. It really hasn't. I mean, yeah, guys are striking out more. I think that when you see a guy like Mike Trout strike out 150 times a year and you wonder, he's the greatest player in the world. You think about those players in the 70s, you probably would have got sent down to AAA.
Yeah.
Striking out that much. But, you know, for me, the shifting, you know, Ed and I talk about the shifting. We just were talking to Chris in the lobby there, and you know, hitters should be able to try to make the adjustment. I've never been able to say that I was a great major league hitter. I got 9 hits in my career. And it wasn't good enough to be a hitter, but I could tell you that it seems like when you guys are shifting that they could probably try to go the other way. I know it's frustrating for a pitcher when you do it. It has a trickle effect. It actually affects the pitcher's mind, the next hitter, and maybe the one after that. So I love the game. I think that shifting's not going to go away, mm-hmm. and I don't think they should make it a rule to shift less, or you can only shift so much. If a team wants to put all 9 guys at first base, I think they should be obligated to do that.
Yeah, you know, and I'm going to ask you this because, I mean, you know, you work a lot with minor leaguers as well. And we had, I remember talking to John Schneider, the Jays, he's now their double-A manager in spring training. But they were talking about all the shifting they did in single-A. And they were talking specifically about Vladdy Jr. and his ability to, you know, to sort of acclimate to all this. You know, do you think it's taking anything away from the game? And, you know, I kind of had the opinion that, like, Pat, what it's going to take is it's going to take sort of the next generation, the Vladdies, the, you know, Juan Sotos, guys who come up through the minor leagues, seeing the shift all the time, learning maybe that they've had to make that adjustment at single A and double A. It's going to take them before it maybe reverts a bit.
Yeah, I mean, I think, well, the good thing about the game today is we have some really, really good players playing it, some good athletes playing them. That's what I enjoy watching. And, you know, these kids grew up in a sports center type app. So they're used to highlights. So they're going to try to do the highlight stuff. And sometimes the 97 hopper the other way to get a guy over isn't the highlight, but they can do it. They all have the ability to do it. I have no doubt about that. As you get into tighter ball games, you get into the playoffs, they'll do it. When it comes down to just winning a baseball game, they will do these things because they can. And they know that when you get into the postseason or you get down in playoff stretch, that it's all about winning. But the other chunk of the time is they're trying to make money. You know, and until they get incentivized to beat the shift or, you know, go the other way and do what they have to do, I don't think we're going to see that going on. Now, you're right. In the minor leagues, these guys are growing up with it. We have shift beating rounds and BP, and so they're understanding how to do it. They're getting better at it. But I think for the players, you know, it needs to be incentivized a little bit somehow. I don't know how you would do that, but I think that if they got rewarded for, you know, left-hander laying down a bunt to get on base as opposed to try to hit it over the fence – to get a rally going, I think they'll do it.
You guys have had a nice year so far, to say the least, the Athletics organization. What's been the secret?
Well,
you've got some good players.
Yeah,
and an amazing bullpen, which just got stronger last night.
Right.
Fernando Rodney.
Yeah. I was fortunate to watch the two Mats, Olson and Chapman, come up. They're really good players. I mean, good defenders, good hitters. And they were kind of the core of this young group of the rebuild going on. And then you had the Jed Lowry has having a great year at age 34. And then Chris Davis continues his monster thing. And then we've been able to fill in with some guys here and there, kind of like what Pat was saying, that veteran mix. Mm-hmm. And we've been lucky a little bit. I mean, shouldn't say been lucky. We've acquired some players. David Forrest done a good job of acquiring some veteran pitchers kind of off the scrap heap. And they've had good years. And the bullpen they put together in the offseason that they continue to put together has really been a godsend. Bob Melvin's a phenomenal manager, handles that pen well. I think we haven't lost a game, only undefeated team from seventh inning on. So he manages that game really well. It's just a good mix. The clubhouse is led by Matt Chapman, young, great defender. Mm-hmm. And they're just kind of following his energy. And the pitching staff, hopefully it holds up. You know, these older guys, Cahill and Jackson and, you know, Anderson. So we'll see. It's been fun to watch.
And Pat, in your current role, I guess, is it a development role?
Yeah, I'm in player development with, you know, mainly AA and AAA and occasionally up here in Toronto.
Obviously, I got to ask about Vlad Jr. And we've seen, I guess, two home runs now and the one monster shot. But what's impressed you? And I'm kind of want you to maybe talk a bit about his footwork at third base, because to a lot of us, that's been a bit of a pleasant surprise.
Right. Great arm, plus arm, you know, great eye at the plate. Actually, pretty good strike ball recognition. He doesn't chase balls too often. Gets a good pitch to hit and doesn't miss it. He's been very impressive, for sure. I spent 4 days in Hartford. They swept. The New Hampshire team swept Hartford, and I think Vladdy hit two home runs. And actually called one of his homers to the first base coach, said, I'm going to hit one today for you because it's your birthday. And when he rounded first, he kind of looked at him and gave him a nod. And I went up to Andy Firmino, and I said after the inning, I said, hey, Andy, I said, are you getting the pitches from the catcher? Why did he nod to you like that? He said he told me he was going to hit a home run in batting practice because it was my birthday. So I thought he was tipping him, saying, hey, thanks, Andy, for giving me the sign.
Yeah, you know,
at first base.
Right.
You know? But so Vladdy's a special guy.
That sounds like confidence rather than cockiness, though, right? Like,
yeah, I mean, it's confidence when it's one-on-one and you're telling the guy.
Yeah.
It's cocky if you're telling the whole team.
Gotcha.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, yeah, but I mean, I'm excited to see him up here just like everyone else.
Is there some, like, do you get that sense, like him telling, I'm going to hit a home run? This guy doesn't seem like the moment's too big for him in that regard. I know we're talking about New Hampshire there, but now he gets the AAA, and then there's always that fear of, okay, if he gets to the majors, starts facing a little bit more adversity, how is he going to react? What have you kind of gleaned from his personality that way?
I don't think he worries about the limelight or anything like that, you know? I mean, we saw what he did in Montreal in spring training with a walk-off. But I will say this, only Babe Ruth calls his shots. I don't think Vladdy's going to be doing that a whole lot. Not up here, not in this league.
No, I'm pretty certain. I'm pretty certain he won't do that. I mean, I remember I covered his dad when he broke into the majors, and his both when he came in during the pennant race, but also his first full season. And, you know, F.P. Santangelo was on the team, and he tells a story about how, you know, Vladdy would grab a bat out of the bat rack and go up and, you know, hit a home run, and he'd grab your bat and look at you, and you'd nod and go ahead, use it, whatever. And he'd go up and hit it, and then the next time it'd be somebody else's bat. I just think that's just the way those guys are wired. It is. It's just the way they're wired. Very quickly, before we let you run, Sean Reed Foley, it sounds like he may be coming up. He might be starting Monday. We've seen Ryan Barucki. What's the minor league pitching depth like right now? Because you hear a lot about the position players. Other than, you know, Foley, Pearson, we don't hear a lot necessarily about the pitchers.
Zoik looked really good in AA when I was there. He threw 60 pitches through six innings. I mean, he could have easily went complete game. We're trying to keep his innings total to a minimum. Harris looks great ever since we did the rotation on the rubber. Vince Horsman and Jeff Ware did a great job of getting him to rotate on the rubber, kind of like Roy Halladay used to.
Right.
It's really helped him. He's in a low 3 ERA since that move. Jordan Romano's another guy who's got the plus stuff, plus fastball, plus slider. There's a guy in the bullpen, too. His name's Bergen. Bergen's really impressed me. Came in. I only seen him pitch one inning, but he looked like Mike Stanton. You guys remember Mike Stanton coming in from the bullpen? You know, over the top, left-hander, kept the ball in his lanes, threw really hard, had a sneaky fastball, and could spin the ball. So they got some guys, no doubt. Foley's another guy. Hopefully he'll come up and do what he's been doing in AAA, not change a thing.
What happened this year that just where it seemed to click for him, for Sean?
I think Foley, I talked to him a little bit, and I've talked to Jeff Ware about this as well. I don't think he threw enough in the offseason, so we're actually trying to tweak his offseason program so that he comes into spring training in better shape.
Right.
I think he actually came into spring training not in pitching shape, and it was shame on him because it was his first big league camp to make an impression. So I'm not saying you got to throw every day like Max Scherzer, but he has to find that happy medium.
Right. Guys, we really appreciate you joining us. It's great to see you again. Again, it's the 25th anniversary of the Blue Jays back-to-back World Series. Saturday at the Rogers Center, the Tampa Bay Rays in town. First pitch is at 4:07. Get in your seats by around 3 o'clock or 3:15. The ceremonies will begin, and as we mentioned, the first 20,000 fans to the ballpark, there will be a bobblehead for you. Gentlemen, thanks so much for doing this. Welcome back to Toronto.
Yeah, and thank you.
Have a great weekend.
All right. Sounds good.